They say, well, you don't dance, preacher. I can't dance. It would look ugly. If you grew up in the country and you ever killed a chicken and you throwed it on the ground after you chopped its head off and it was flopping and doing all, that's my dancing. That's why I don't dance, because it is ugly. Amen. That's why I ask God, when I get to heaven, let me dance. I'm going to be cutting a rug up there. But down here, my wife is like, please don't. My kids are putting a bag over their head going, Daddy, no. Because we have dance parties at our house. We turn the TV off, turn the surround sound on, and turn on some old school music. Y'all don't do that with your kids? Please, we go to our house and it's cotton candies. No. But some of y'all know that song. So I attempt to do that at home and my kids are like, oh, dear God. Amen. So glad to have you in God's house today. Amen. We're going to go to the Lord's word this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43, we're going to look at verses 16 through 19. Yes, thank you for standing for the reading of the word. It's a sign of honor to God and God's word, God's holy word. Isaiah 43, when you have it, say amen. If you're going to help me preach today, say amen. I already feel like preaching. I don't know how long the Lord's going to let me preach, but I feel the preacher today. Amen. Isaiah 43, let's start in verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh the way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse and army and the power, that they shall lie down together, and they shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Notice in our text, it started out in verse 16. It said, the Lord will make a way. Then in our last verse, in verse 19, it said, the Lord will make a way. Look at your neighbor and say, God will make a way. God will make a way. Father, I come before you today thanking you for your word, thanking you for the anointing that is on your word. And God, I thank you for your presence that we feel here so strong today. And God, as we go into this time to study your word and to hear what thus saith the Lord, I ask you, God, to anoint these lips of clay that I may speak what thus saith the Lord to your people. And Father, we'll be sure to give you all praise. And we give this service into your hands. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. I want to preach to you this morning on the topic, Waymaker. Waymaker. How many of you that God has made a way out of no way? I think everybody in this place can testify that God is a way maker. But I think many times life throws things at us and we go through so much in life that many times we forget that he's a way maker. Many times we get so bound up with everything around us, it gives us tunnel vision of seeing all the problems, seeing all the failure, seeing all the things that we're going through, and we're sitting over here and we're crying out, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. God, I don't know how I'm going to make it. And we so easily forget that God is a way maker. That we so easily forget that he makes a way where there seems to be no way. We so easily forget that God is always God, that nothing catches God by surprise. God's never caught off guard by anything. He knew your problem was going to come, but he said, I'm going to go to that problem with you. When Jesus told the disciples to get on the ship and go to the other side, he already knew that the storm was coming. But Jesus got in the boat with them and said, you're going to go through the storm, but I'm going to be in the boat with you. Amen. And God already knows the things that we're going to face in this life. God already knows what we're going to go through in this life, but he promised he would never leave us, and he promised he would never forsake us. And if we have to go through the storm, always remember that God is right there with you. Amen. No matter what you face in this life, God is right there with you. You say, well, Pastor, you don't know what I'm dealing with. You don't know what I'm going through in my life. Let me tell you a little bit about a man by the name of King David. He was a man that when the prophet came to his house and told Jesse, he said, call all of your sons to come before me because God has chosen a king from among them. And David's own daddy didn't call him. It's bad to be ostracized by your own family, to be thought you're not even worthy by your own family. And the prophet asked Samuel, he said, are all these your sons? And he said, these are all the important ones. He said, you said, well, the Bible don't say that. That's basically what he was saying. He said, if David was important enough to me, he would have come in the first place. But he said, there remaineth the youngest, and he's out in the field tending the sheep. In other words, there's no way that it's him. And the prophet said, call your son. We won't sit down till he gets here. And when David walked in, dirty, smelling like sheep, filthy, God spoke and said, this is the one. I've ordained him to be king. He's a man after my own heart. That's why you got to be, don't be so quick to judge somebody by what's on them. Don't judge them. David had sheep dung on him. David was dirty. David smelt like sheep. But God said, I see a man after my own heart. Don't judge somebody by what you see, because on the inside of them, God has something great for them. And we got to quit focusing what's on people and start looking at what's inside somebody, because I'm a firm believer that if you get what's inside right, when what's inside gets out, it's going to take care of what's on you. My God, if we'll let the greatness of God that is inside of us get out, it'll take care of everything that's on us. Amen. But David was a man anointed to be king by God. And then Saul began to hate him. Saul began to hate him, began to hunt him like an animal. David never did anything to Saul, but he still hated him. And you may say, there's people that don't like me, and I don't understand why. It's because your anointing aggravates their demons. There's, amen, your anointing aggravates their demons. When you get around somebody and they just don't like you for no reason at all, even though you didn't do anything to them, it's because what's on the inside of you causes what's on the inside of them to get upset, and they don't like you for no reason. And Saul hated David to the point that he hunted him like an animal. David was hiding in caves for his life. David was doing everything he knew to do just to survive. And I told you all that to get to this point. David was in a place in his life where he was surrounded by despair. He was surrounded by uncertainty. He knew that God had a gift on his life, but yet his life was in a mess. It is very frustrating at times to know that God has greatness on the inside of you, but you seem like you're stuck in a mess. It's very frustrating to know that there's greatness on the inside of you, but you're stuck in mediocre. It's very frustrating to know that God's hand is on you, but yet everything you're trying to do ends up blowing up in your face. Anybody ever been there? God told Joshua to take the city of Jericho. I've given it to you. But then the Bible says all the doors of Jericho were straightly shut up. In other words, when God tells you to do something, every door slams in your face. David was at a place in his life where he was just, he had great anointing on him, but his life was a mess. And David wrote over in Psalms 55, he said, I wish I had wings like a dove so I could just fly away. I wish I had wings like a dove just to fly away. In other words, David said, I'm in such a place in my life, I wish I could just sprout wings and fly away. Anybody ever been there? If you hadn't, keep living. David said, I'm in such a place in my life that even though my anointing is great, but I'm so surrounded by trouble. I'm so surrounded that everywhere I turn, there's another issue. Every which way I look, there's another issue. I wish I could just fly away. My God, I've been there before. I've been like, Lord, just take me from this place. David said, I just want to leave all of it. But he goes on in the end of that verse and says, but yet I'll still trust you, Lord. Yet I'll still trust you. My God, David said that there's times, he said, I feel so just burdened by all these problems. I feel so down in my spirit that I want to just fly away. But even though I know I can't, I'm still going to trust God.
You know, there comes times in life when you know that you're walking with God and you're facing difficulties in your life that you have to say, God, I trust you. God, I don't know what's going to happen. God, I don't know how it's going to turn out, but God, I trust you to be God. God, I trust that you're going to make a way where there seems to be no way. God, I trust that you got my best interest at heart. And if I got to face this problem, I know that it is your will, it is part of your plan, and that you are not going to put more on me than I can bear. And I will make it through as long as I don't quit. Amen. I want to tell somebody this morning, don't quit. Don't give up. Just trust in God and keep holding on to His hand, because His plan will unfold if you don't quit. Amen. If the devil could have stopped you, he'd already done it. If the devil could have killed you, he'd have done taking you out. But he don't have that authority, and he don't have that power. Amen. Only God above has the power to do that. The devil don't have that power. And as long as you don't give up, God's going to make a way. Amen. Y'all all right this morning? Amen. Let me get out of my introduction. Amen. David said, if I had wings, I'd just fly out of it. My God, I've been there in my life. I said, Lord, I'm tired. God, I don't like this situation. I don't like people. I'd look in the mirror and be like, I don't even like myself right now. You know you in a bind when you get on your own nerves. Y'all laughing because you done that before. Be like, I can't even stand myself right now. I've been there. Look in the mirror and be like, boy, you're getting on my nerves. I've had to look in the mirror and say, suck it up. Man up. Amen. God called you for a reason. If you don't talk to yourself in the mirror, I need to counsel you. Why? The Bible said David encouraged himself in the Lord. Sometimes I have to look in the mirror and say, all right, suck it up. You're anointed. Well, they hurt my feelings. It don't matter. Suck it up. If you don't look in the mirror and talk back to yourself. I'll be like, preacher, you are weird, I know. But it's how I deal. You deal with how you deal. I have to have pep talks to myself sometimes. Why? Because sometimes you're the only one that will pep talk you. And sometimes you got to have the hard talks with yourself. Because when it's always everybody else's problem, the problem may not be everybody else. Hello? We love to blame everybody else, but sometimes we got to look in the mirror and say, you're the issue. It ain't always somebody else's fault. And all my amens done died down, but that's all right. Why? Because we don't want to face the hard truths. We love to blame somebody else, and somebody put their arm around us and say, oh, baby, it's going to be all right. We're going to get them. Their day is coming. Just know that it is coming. And start throwing gang signs. We don't even know what we're throwing. It's flip-flop season. These people's toes throw gang signs. Y'all laughing because y'all seen it in Walmart. Somebody throwing a blood sign with their toes, and you're like, oh, my gosh. We don't want to face the hard truths of saying, hey, maybe we're the issue. Let's move on. Waymaker. David was in a place, he said, I don't see a way out. I just want to just fly out of this. That's the only way out of it. You know, all of us have got to a point in our lives where we say, God, you're just going to take me out of it. That's the only way I'm going to get out of it. But see, sometimes God puts us in places that are difficult to grow us, to mature us. You see, after you done been through something, you become a lot less judgmental of folks when they're in it. That's why I cannot relate to people that have never been through nothing. I am not the pastor for people that hadn't been through anything. I think that my entire ministry, the last 20 years, God has surrounded me with people, the most messed up, jacked up people he can find. And why? Because I asked God to send them to me. I said, God, send me the most messed up folks you can find. Why? And I talked to God. And I said, because your children get on my nerves. Religious folks get on my nerves. I can't hang out with religious folks. Why? Because they always talking about somebody. They always talking about how better they are than somebody else. They always talking about how they used to do it. And I was like, and that's why your church is on life support. Because you never see nobody saved. And y'all all over 60, and there's 10 of y'all. And in 10 years, they're going to sell your church. Hello? I'm going to get up here. It's getting rough. And I tell God, God, send me the most messed up people you can find. Why? Because I have messed my life up in places. But I've learned that God's still a way maker. I've learned that if we just hold on to God, He makes a way. God is a restorer. Amen. When we blow it, God says, get on up, son. He said, I'm going to put a ring on your finger. He said, I'm going to put my coat on you. I'm going to cover up all that stuff, all you mess. He says, it's all right. I got you. Amen. That's the kind of God that I serve. Amen. And I ask God, I say, God, send me the most messed up folks you can find. Why? Because I can relate to them. Amen. So, our text says, God said, I'll make a way in the wilderness. You know, a wilderness is kind of like just a wilderness where, I think of wilderness, I think of just desolate, nothing. There's nothing there, or either you're stuck off in the wilderness, either in a jungle or something that is just anywhere that is, there's no way out. You can't find your only way through it, and there's really no way for you to get through there. And God says, I'm going to make a way through the wilderness. Now, some of the wilderness wanderings we talk about is the children of Israel and Moses. God led them out of Egypt to a land flowing with milk and honey. But in between Egypt and the promised land, amen, was the wilderness. Now, Moses had lived there for 40 years. Why did Moses have to live in the wilderness for 40 years before he delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt? Because you can never lead somebody where you have not been yourself. Let me help you right here. If you want your kids to act right, guess what you got to do? Act right. You want your kids to be praying kids, you got to be a what? A praying parent. Hello? You want your kids to be an upstanding citizen, you got to be what? Oh, come on, y'all. In other words, our kids lead by our example. Amen? You understand when kids start getting older, you got to watch what you say, because they'll do what? They will repeat it. You hit your finger with a hammer and say a bad word, guess what? I had the TV on the other night, and someone called someone a name. And then all of a sudden, Bella runs to the house. Ha ha, she called him up. I was like, ah! And I said, come here, baby. I got to talk to you for a minute. I said, that's an ugly word, and we don't say that. She's like, well, I didn't know. I was like, I know you didn't, and you're not in trouble, but we just don't say that word. Well, she said it. Come on. Y'all been there. Dads had to be there. Like, okay, baby. Then I went behind closed doors. I was like, Michelle. I was like, Bella said that was just like, ah! And I told Michelle, and she was like, ah! Some of you just got little kids. It's coming. It's coming. But he said, I'll make a way in widows. The children of Israel. Moses led the children of Israel into the wilderness. But the Bible says in Exodus chapter 13 that the Lord led them the long way around. Because the scripture says, lest they see conflict, lest they see their enemies, and want to go back to Egypt. So in other words, God led them through the wilderness. We know that the Bible teaches of a pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. They were following God's leading. And the scripture says that God led them the long way around so that keep them from conflict. Some of you may say, why has this struggle been so long in my life? Because God's leading you the long way around. Why is God leading me the long way around? To keep you out of all the mess. To keep you out of all the conflict. Why? Because many times if we want to go the way we want to go, the shortest way we want to get there, hello? It's going to get us in a mess. It's going to get us in some battles. And you say, why is it taking me so long to get through this phase of my life? Because God's taking you the long way around. Because He's actually protecting you. Sometimes I thank God for taking me the long way around. Because maybe I wasn't ready.
maybe I wasn't ready to deal with going the short way. You see, if God takes you into your destiny before you're ready, your destiny will destroy you. If you go into it prematurely, it will destroy you. What happens when a baby is born prematurely? Its chances of survival diminish. Why? Because it isn't completely fully developed. They have to spend days or weeks or even months in NICU. ICU. Are y'all tracking with me? Why? Because it wasn't fully developed. She's fine, y'all. I grew up in a house with women. That is nothing. The baby's not fully developed. The baby's not fully developed, so its chances of survival diminish. So if God releases us into our destiny prematurely, our chances of survival diminish. Our chances of making it diminish. Why? Because we're not ready for that yet. Some of you are like, God, I'm ready to do this. God, I'm ready to do this. God, I'm ready to do this. But you can't even come to church consistently. God, I'm ready to do this. God, I'm ready to do this. But you don't tithe faithfully. God, I'm ready to do this. God, I'm ready to do this. And you struggle to stay saved between Monday and Wednesday. Hello? God, I'm ready to do everything for you. But you don't read your Bible. That's why the Bible says you got to first show that you're faithful over a few things before he makes us ruler over many. And I think when we tell God, God, I'm ready to do this and I'm ready to do that, and God's looking at us, what about your life shows me that you're ready? When Jesus came to the man that had been sick for 38 years, and Jesus said, do you even want to be made whole? Here's a man been sick for 38 years, and Jesus asked him, do you really even want to be healed? Why did Jesus ask him this question? Because nothing about his life showed Jesus that he was ready to be healed. He had his bed laid up in it. He had his teddy bear in there. He had his stereo in there. He had everything he needed right there. And Jesus was, that's why Jesus said, do you really want to come out? Because nothing about your life shows me that you want it. And we tell God all the time, God, I'm ready to do this, and God, I'm ready to do that. But nothing about our life shows God that we're really ready for that. Can I get one amen? Amen. Thank y'all. So Moses and the children of Israel, God led them the long way around to keep them from conflict because they wasn't ready. The Bible said they came out of Egypt harnessed, ready for battle, but they really wasn't ready. You know, I see people all the time that says Jesus freak on their shirt, or they have I love Jesus, real men love Jesus on their bumper sticker, and they wear all the Jesus clothes, and they speak the Jesus lingo, but at the moment trouble hits, what happens? See, they came out harnessed, ready for battle. They looked the part, but they wasn't ready to do nothing. I see it all the time working as a deputy. They hardcore, ready to fight. Had a dude tell me, when we get to the jail, I'm going to jump out and it's going to be on. All right, cupcake. About the time you hear them handcuffs go click, click. You ain't a thug like you thought you was. That's just an analogy I'm using. That's real life. That's real life. But we want to wear the part. We want to talk the part. But where are we when the battle comes? Where are we when it's time to fight? Where are we when everything starts falling apart and we got to take a stand? Where are we when the world is trying to shut our mouths? Hello? As a church. When the world's trying to silence God's people so that they can push their own agenda, when liberals are pushing their agenda as far as they can push it, and the church is going to be silent. You got to be quiet because you're going to be labeled a racist. You're going to be labeled intolerant. My God, I am intolerant of anything other than God's word. If it goes against God's word, I am intolerant. You can label me what you want to label me. I don't care. Amen. I'll stand for God's word. Well, you don't understand the situation. Hey, God's word is God's word, and it does not change. Amen. And it's still the same as it was back then when God divinely inspired the men of God to write these words. Amen. God's word still stands true. And I want to tell you, if you don't line your life up with God's word, you are wrong. You are wrong if you don't line your life up with God's word. He said, I'll make a way in the wilderness. God has a way of leading you through it. He led them fire by night and a cloud by day. God said, I got a way to make through it if you'll just follow me. Well, God, it's taking too long. I think I'm going to go this way. Then we get over there and we like, oh, I wish I'd have followed God. We see green grass on the other side of the fence many times. But a lot of times grass is real green when it's got a lot of fertilizer. If you grew up in the country, you know what I'm talking about. I ain't talking about triple 13. I'm talking about natural fertilizer. Makes that grass real green. But then when you dig down in that green grass, you find all that. Hello? It's just real life. Oh, it just see that grass is so pretty. It just looks so good. Oh, look at how she looks in those jeans. She's saying the right things. Look at those big old eyelashes. That's the inside joke between me and Ruby. But I'm going to let y'all in on it. She wears these big old fake eyelashes. I can say this. I'm with her 6 days a week. She got to praying one day and got to crying, and when she left church, one of them was standing straight up and down. If she wouldn't kill me, I'd make a meme and be like, you know you go to a Pentecostal church when you're leaving your eyelashes like this. You know you had some church. I done got tickled. Oh, sweet Jesus. I'm about to lay hands on myself.
He said, I'll make a way in the wilderness. Then he goes on to say, he said, I'll make rivers in the desert. A desert is a very dry place. It's a place where you ever been to a place in your life where you didn't even feel God? There's been times in my life, Lord, I don't feel nothing. You pray, you don't feel nothing. You read your Bible, you don't feel nothing. You go to church, you don't feel nothing. Praise team can be praising, spirit can be moving, and you're sitting there just so dry. Anybody ever been there? Sometimes life happens and it just takes the spark right out of you. There's been times I've came to church not because I wanted to, hello, but because out of obligation that I'm supposed to be there. There's been times since I've been a pastor that I didn't want to go to church. And I'm like, oh, I'm the pastor, I got to preach. Hello? I'm just honest, guys. I'm not one of these guys that float from room to room. I don't glow in the dark unless I just shave my head and it's real shiny. Amen, JD. I don't glow in the dark. Hey, guys, I'm real, just like you. There's times in my life I feel so dry. Times in my life where I'm like, man, I've been praying, but I just don't feel my breakthrough happening yet. And God says, I'll make a way in the deserts. And he says, in other words, I'll make rivers in the deserts. In the Bible, water represents the Spirit. And he says, in other words, you may be in a dry place, but if you'll keep holding on, I'll let a river run through that dry place. Amen. I'll let water just flow through that dry place in your life. Amen. If you just keep holding on to God, you say, well, preacher, it's been dry so long. Keep trusting God. And he said, I'll make a river just begin to flow in your life, a river of the Spirit, a desert place. There's nothing growing, anything like that. Oh, my gosh. But over in Job, it says, there is hope of a tree that if it be cut down and its roots wax old in the earth, yet through the scent of water, it shall bud again and bring forth boughs like a plant. In other words, God said, even if a tree's cut down and its roots are dry and waxed old in the earth, even just the smell of water In other words, just the smell of the Spirit of God brings life back into it. My God, it can be so dry that you feel like your roots are dried up or your bones are dried up. But God said, I'll make a river begin to flow that. And what happens when water comes in? It brings life back into you, a refreshing back to you. I don't know about you, but Michelle worked me like a barn mule yesterday in the yard. We pulled up every bush in front of our house. And I'm off this week, so I got the honeydew list. Y'all have them list. I have a honeydew list. Got to do the flower beds, got to pour some concrete, I'm going back to work. They're like, can y'all cancel my vacation this week? But anyway, we worked hard in the yard yesterday. It's nasty, filthy, just hot. But when I go get a shower, that water hits, it brings a refreshing. It brings, you know, after you've been hot and tired all day, just that nice bath, just like, okay. Y'all remember Calgon Take Me Away? I don't use Calgon, but that's just to say. But that refreshing, and that's what God does in our lives. When we're so dry and we're so down and out and we've been through so much in our lives, God has a way of just letting His Spirit come in and just refresh you. He said, I'll make rivers in the desert. I'll make rivers in the desert. And you say, well, preacher, you don't know how bad my situation is, and I just can't seem to get shed of it. I'm glad you asked that. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 says, the Lord will make a way of escape. The Lord will make a way of escape. And you say, well, that sounds good, but tell me how it works. Glad you asked. Over in Luke chapter 4, Jesus walked into the temple, opened up the scriptures, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. And Jesus read that prophecy from Isaiah. He rolled up the scroll. He looked at the people and he said, today, this scripture is fulfilled before your very eyes. And they got infuriated and said that he was blaspheming. And they took him and they throwed him out of the church. I could stop and preach right there. God, we got to quit throwing God out of the church. We got to quit throwing God out of the church so that we can go through our motions. We got to quit throwing God out of the church so we can go through our rituals. We got to quit throwing God out of the church because we scared somebody's going to get offended. My Lord, if the Word of God offends you, maybe it was for you. Well, that preacher throwed that message at me. If it hit you, I'm going to throw it every time. Why? Because if it'll change your life, and the Word of God will change your life and keep you from going to hell, you can get mad at me all day long. I'm a big boy. I can handle it. Amen. But Jesus, they threw him out of the church. And the Bible said they took him to a cliff or a hill and said they were going to throw him off of it headlong. They were serious. It wasn't just throw him off the cliff. The Bible said they were going to throw him off the cliff head first to make sure that it killed him. But check this out. Luke chapter 4, they're mad. They're ready to throw him off a cliff. But the Bible says Jesus passed right through them. In other words, they were ready to kill him, but God made such a way of escape that Jesus walked right through them and they didn't even know it. I like to call that the passing through anointing. The passing through anointing. And you say, well, I don't know how I'm going to get out of it. And God said, I may not get you out of it. I may just let you pass through it. My God. God said, I may not deliver you out of it, but I may just pass you through it. You may have to walk through the fire. You may have to go into the fiery furnace, but I'm going to just let you pass through it. And when you come out, there won't be a hair on your head singed, and your hair won't smell like smoke. You won't be hurt. You won't be affected by what you're going through. And some of you need today to say, well, you don't know how bad I'm going through right now. I'm going to tell you, God's going to release a passing through anointing on you today. Amen, that you're going to pass through it. And when you come out on the other side, people won't even be able to tell that you've been through that. My God, I go back and tell people my story of the hell that I walked through in my life. And they say, I never would have known that. And I'm like, because of a passing through anointing. God helped me walk through the fire. He helped me walk through the battle. And I come out on the other side. And my clothes don't even smell like smoke. Hallelujah. Passing through anointing. Hallelujah. God made a way for Abraham. In Genesis chapter 22. God told Abraham, he said, take that son that you love, sacrifice him. Abraham was walking up the hill with his son. I believe his son, Daddy, we have the wood. Daddy, we got the fire. We got everything we know. We got everything that we need for the sacrifice. But where is the sacrifice? Abraham said, the Lord will provide. Somebody needs to know God's got this. God will provide. Abraham walking up the hill to kill his only son, but he was walking up the hill in faith going, God, if this is your will, you're going to provide. God had already promised Abraham, said, your seed will be like the stars of the sky, like the sands of the seashore. And God, and Abraham knew, he said, if I have to kill my only son, God's going to make another way. Amen. Some of you may have to say, well, I lost this in my life, and I don't know how I'm going to do it because I lost this. Hey, God's got something else. Ooh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Some of you need to know that God has a Seth waiting on you. When Cain rose up and killed Abel, the enemy thought he had won, but God had a Seth. You know what Seth means? Replacement. God's got a replacement. Well, they hurt me when they left me. That's, God says, all right, I got a Seth for you. Well, they broke my heart when they left me, preacher. Hey, God's got a Seth for me. Hey, I thank God for the Seth in my life. Amen. When my heart was broken and my heart was shattered and I didn't know which way I was going to turn, amen, all of a sudden walked in my Seth. Woo! Amen. And she walked by me and I was like, if she looks that good when she turns around, I'm going to marry her. Glory to God. Sometimes I just have to stop and have a praise break and be like, thank you. Hey, you should do that about your spouse. My Lord, you walk through Walmart and see somebody you used to date, you should have a praise break. Thank God I did not marry them. Was I drunk when I took them out on a date? Hello? I thank God for my Seth. I'm going to tell you something. God's got a Seth for you. I usually don't do this, but Mitch, God's got a Seth for you. You keep trusting God. He's got a Seth for you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of you in here, God's got a Seth for you. You keep trusting God. God made a way for Abraham. God made a way for Abraham. And right when Abraham picked up the knife, my God, to kill that baby boy, the angel of the Lord said, stop, Abraham. God knows your heart. And Abraham turned and looked, and there was a ram caught in the thicket. And Abraham looked up to heaven. He said, and I believe he looked down at that boy and said, I see. I told you God would make a way. I told you God had a plan. I told you God had a purpose, because he's a way maker. He's a miracle worker. He's a promise keeper. Hallelujah. And if we'll trust him, God will make a way. Hallelujah. I'm getting ready to close. Sister Beverly, would you come? God will make a way. Last part of our text said, behold, I will do a new thing. It'll spring forth. Shall you not know it? And God says, I got some stuff coming in your life that you've never seen before. In other words, forget the former things. Forget how God used to do it. Forget how it used to be. And say, God, I know that you got a plan for me. Forget former relationships. Let me just help you right here. I feel the Spirit of God. Quit spending all your time trying to bring back what God has removed from your life. God has removed it. Don't waste all your effort.
and all your energy trying to get it back. God removed it from you for a reason. God said, I'm going to do a new thing. He said, if you're looking for it to be like the old thing, you're going to miss it. He said, I'm going to do a new thing. It's going to spring forth. Shall you not know it? In other words, God says, get ready, because it's going to spring up. And if you're looking for it to be like what you've always experienced in your life, you're going to miss it. Quit expecting the same outcome. Hello? I told you about my Seth a while ago. My Seth had concrete walls built around her life. Why? Because she'd been hurt. She'd been wounded. And I said, will you take them down long enough to let me in before you build them back? And I had a hard time doing that, because she expected the same thing she'd always gotten before. Some of you say, well, I tried last time and it blew up in my face. Well, I tried before and it blew up in my face. That's the problem. You're expecting it to be just like it was, and you're missing the newness of God. Quit looking like it to be like it's always been. Well, every guy I've trusted has let me down. And you miss out on something good because you're expecting it to turn out like the bad. Well, every woman I've ever trusted has broke my heart. Last time I tried, it blew up in my face. The time before that, it blew up in my face. God said, I'm going to do a new thing. Why? Because he's a way maker. He's a miracle worker. And he's a promise keeper. What God promised you shall come to pass. God promised it. It will happen if you keep trusting him. I think God wanted to remind us today that he's still a way maker. He's still a way maker. Would you stand with me all over the house? I don't know what you're facing in your life. I don't know what you're going through in your life. I'm going to tell you something. God's a way maker. Amen. God is a way maker. You may say, I've tried it before, preacher. It didn't work out too good last time I tried. I challenge you to try again. I challenge you to believe again. Because God's going to make a way. If you would, bow your heads with me. Father, I love you. God, I have delivered my heart as best as I know how today. But God, I believe that there are people under the sound of my voice that needed to be reminded that you are a way maker, that you are a miracle worker, and that you will keep your promises. And God, I just asked you to help us all to believe again, to trust again, to not doubt in our hearts that you will do what you said you was going to do. God, as we give this altar call today, Lord, I ask you, God, just to begin to deal with hearts, or continue. I know you're already doing it. Continue to deal with hearts in this place today. God, we love you. We love you. Why no one's looking around, please. I want to ask you this morning, do you need God to do something in your life? Do you need God to make a way in your life? If that's you, would you just slip your hand up? Amen. And put it back down. These hands went up all over.